the Zions Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zions Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 15th, 2020. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Both just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number is 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You always find updates with the breaking news in Wichita Mission Church. All our information you need is over at prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on the net internationally on YouTube. Podcast and also on some FM, so pray about supporting airtime. Let's thank our listener base worldwide in places like Prague, the Czech Republic, the Russian Federation, Croatia, and of course cities in the United States such as Omaha, Nebraska, San Jose, California, Greensboro, North Carolina, and Wichita, Kansas. Yeah, you're back on top this week as to the largest group of listeners, at least when it goes to podcast later on tonight. Okay, folks, there's a little mistake here. I've got to do something real quickly. There we go. I got it. Okay, now he knows it's next week. I'm sorry, folks. I had another guest try to get into the conversation, and it was popping up on my thing. And he's not supposed to be on till next week, but he totally misunderstood because we've got another guest on tonight. Anyway. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. Now, prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray we're here tonight. Those according to your will, not our will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Well, our guest tonight is Pastor Carl Gallus. Are you there with me, Carl?
I am here, Pastor Dan. I sure hope it wasn't me that called in at the wrong time.
No, sir, not at all. Well, okay. You know, I think you can see on the screen, I arranged for Stan Johnson to be on for next week.
Yeah.
And I'm up here looking, and all of a sudden it pops up and it says Stan Johnson. And I looked over at my email, and Stan's emailing me. Well, you haven't called me yet. Well, no, Stan, that's next week. I have Carl on tonight, and everything laid out to talk to you, because he was actually supposed to be on last week, and anyway, here you are, and I'm very, very happy.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, okay. I'm just honored to be on any time I can be on with you, Pastor Dan. I love you, brother.
Well, I love you, too, and which brings up the subject of why I love you. I want you to listen to this.
Oh, my goodness. Do I need to get my wife in here and let her record this?
No, it'll be on radio. By the way, you got me so shocked, I don't even know if I gave your lead in. I didn't even give your lead in.
Oh, it
well,
doesn't.
Folks, Carl Gallus has wrote 11 books, and, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about your other book. I did see the cover pop up tonight. Amazon sent me notice that it was going to be up. You know what I'm saying? So that's the first look I got at the cover of it. We'll talk about that in a minute, but first I want to get into this. We'll skip the regular intro. Anyway, last night, Carl, I don't know, about 4 in the morning or something, I got up and I was looking at Facebook, and somebody answered something to, a post that I made, and it really hit me, because I say this all the time. Now, this is somebody that made a response to something I said about the church being entertainment or something, okay? Anyway, she says, I quit attending church years ago due to this. Out of the foyer of the last church I was ever in, there was a counter where you could make a purchase for coffee and other things. When the service started, someone would be up on the stage with a mic and introduce the pastor. The pastor would then bound up on the stage like some sort of rock star. Mostly his teaching was about how they needed more money. She goes on to say she hasn't attended church again. She goes to a home Bible study. And it really troubled me, but this is what I've seen in a lot of mainstream churches. You know, I've talked to a lot of people. I don't go to what I consider a mainstream or mega church. We have our own church, of course. It's troubling because they seem to have lost their soul. But then, you know, right afterwards, then I looked at something that you posted. And last night you posted something to people that, you know, you said you're finding new people on new people are finding you on Facebook all the time. And you said a thing, so I'm not going to read all of it because it's pretty lengthy. I am going to include it with tonight's podcast when it goes to the podcast. We're live radio right now, but I'm going to put the text of it. But you said, here's the things that you need to know about yourself. And you said, first and foremost, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Secondly, you're an involved pastor. And third, you admit that America has faults like other nations, but you're unashamed of your biblical foundation and the foundation of this country. You're not a racist, you know, and for pro-life, you're a radical pro-life person, you know, and you didn't shut your church down during COVID. You went on to say that you're concealed carry and things like that. But, Carl, you stand out. This is what makes you stand out. You're the guy that I wished that every mainstream pastor would be like. You're not afraid to speak the truth. And you speak the truth. You haven't lost your salt, but so much of the church has. And I believe that's why we're really in the position that we're at. But this is why, in part, I'm so glad to always have you on the air because of who you are. This is who you are, Carl. And let me tell you, you're few and far in between. So I hope that doesn't bother you.
Well, I don't know what to say except you're a very gracious man and a dear friend. And no, I put that up there, Dan, and you're right. It's a little lengthier than what you just shared, but I just wanted people to have a good snapshot of my heart, a little bit of my background, just my desire to be real about who I am and about my faith and about the Word of God, and I did that because, you know, listen, Facebook is just getting horrible. You probably have heard what Twitter did today. I mean, they just shut the world down because of what was revealed about Hunter Biden, and they don't want that out before the election, so they're just trying to absolutely manipulate the election. And so Facebook's doing the same thing, and it's been doing that to me and a lot of people. It has shut other conservative speakers and pastors and preachers and media people like me. I'm kind of all of those things. Right. It has shut them down. It's banned them for life because they would dare to express their, you know, God-given right opinions. And so, anyway, I have been signing up on some Facebook and Twitter alternative media that has been out now for several years, and I can give folks, you know, where those are in a moment. And I've been, as soon as I signed up on those platforms, all of these people started piling in wanting to contact me or be my, quote, friend, you know, to connect with me, because I guess they've just known me from TV and radio and my program and your program and social media. and they recognize my name. And so I realized then a lot of other people that I've never had connections with before started following their friends over, and I could sense that they didn't really know me. And so that's why I just put together that little bio. It's a snapshot. And I just said, look, so many more people are finding us now. And Pastor Dan, a lot of that's because of your show and other shows like it and all the work you do, all the work I do, the work we do together. I mean, in this world of connectivity and social media, if you're really out there doing something in God's kingdom, people are going to find you. And so that's why I wrote it. I just want you to know what was behind it, brother. There was no hubris in it at all. I just wanted people to know that I'm unashamed to be an American. First of all, to be a Christian. Number two, to be an American. Number three, to be a pastor. Number four, to have a background in law enforcement. You know, cops are so hated nowadays, and so are pastors. And I'm unashamed of either one of those, but I'm unashamed of the Word of God. I'm unashamed of the Second Amendment, First Amendment. I practice the Second Amendment, as I say in there. I'm concealed carry permit, but I don't flaunt any of these things. I love being a pastor. I love my people. I love the people that I can minister to. I don't cram anything down anybody's throat. And I just wanted people to know who I was. So that's apparently what you ran across. I'm sorry that had to wake you up in the middle of the night, brother.
Well, amen. It was probably, look, the way things passed me by on Facebook, you know what I'm saying, because I have so many people follow me because of the same thing, because of radio. My Facebook was made out of somebody years ago told me, said, how can we get a hold of you, or how can I tell other people to get a hold of you? And they said, well, the best way, I said, well, I don't know, and I gave them some ways, and they said, well, the easiest way is Facebook. I'd never had a Facebook, and I was not really planning on it. But I created it for the ministry use, not personal use, right?
Right.
And so everybody, you know, I have so many people that follow me. And so, you know, the timeline or whatever you call it, news feed goes by fast.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I believe I was lit. Now, you know, I'm spirit-led. I believe the Father got me up out of bed at 4 o'clock. And, you know, I went and found those two things. And, I mean, I found the woman's first talking about how she left the church. And then I found yours right afterwards. I'm glad to have found it. And so on. I mean, it's just so important. But let's talk about the news media, too, a little bit. Because you put right on it. Let me say this, and then I'll turn it over to you. Today, and I've been experiencing in the last few months, a lot of censoring by, right now my blog is on a thing called Blogger, and it's owned by Google. And before this, I have a thing called the Prophetic News Service that I run through my Prophecy Hour website, which means I post the latest breaking links to articles that go on during the daytime. And I've been doing that since 1999, and which has drawn a lot of people and gave me part of the audience that I have, because they go look at the news, right? Well, since it's been closer and closer to the election, they first started telling me, well, then I couldn't just do it by email. I had to go post it right on the site and so on. Well, and make me go through a CAPTCHA thing, you know, and all that, and a wordplay game and a picture thing. Well, they quit that. Now they've been saying, well, you're full. You can't post anything else.
Oh.
Well, they're censoring me. You know what? And when that happens, if I post something totally religious, you know, that has no words of politics in it whatsoever, they'll go ahead and post it. You understand what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, they're blatantly lying. And but it's been happening also. I use Yahoo for my list. Now, naturally, I'm going to have to rethink these things. But I use Yahoo. Yahoo had a thing called Yahoo Groups, which I started the Prophetic News Service on, which was leftover research for doing mail-out newsletters originally in 1999. Well, that has been doing the same thing. Yahoo has been censoring. If I do something that they don't like about Biden, well, then they'll say it's just, you know, no, you can't post that and because it's political or something. And so I have to change the wordings of the headline in order to get it passed to go out to my news list. So I've been being censored, and I've been censored on Twitter and so forth. Did our forefathers ever foresee that I was talking about previously that we have a right to a free press. the right to the free press was given to keep a check on the government. But did our forefathers ever foresee a time that over half of our media would be controlled by one group of people? Back to you.
No, they didn't. Well, listen, they did, I think, foresee that we could lose everything that they had fought and died to give us. Yes, they did foresee that, and they wrote about it, and they talked about it. But I don't know, brother, if they could foresee what we're dealing with now. And listen, it's not too late. I mean, we could recapture. We could get it back. I mean, the church has got to wake up. The church has got to be the salt and the light. And I don't mean just preaching little fluffy sermons about it and everybody, amen, go home, eat your fried chicken and forget about it. I'm talking about getting involved. I mean, I take so much heat, and I don't care. I'm not playing a violin and say, please feel sorry for me. But the way I am now, one of the greatest compliments I get in ministry is the people that have known me for decades say to me, Brother Carl, you're the same now as you were 35 years ago when you came to our church. And that's a wonderful compliment to me. Now, I believe I've grown in the Lord and I've matured as a man and all of that, but what they mean is I'm the same Jesus-loving, Bible-standing man that just gets out there and gets involved. You know, I came out of a career of law enforcement. God built a lot of strength in me that way. I'm just not afraid to put my life on the line, literally, and I have as a pastor. I've had death threats on me, but I don't care. I just get out there and do what God is calling me to do. And I know so many other Christians are as well, but a whole lot of them in the United States just aren't anymore, brother. They just aren't. And the pastors aren't, and the churches aren't. Now, again, thousands of pastors and churches and tens of thousands of Christians are. The problem is tens of thousands of pastors and churches and hundreds of thousands of Christians aren't.
Right.
And that's the problem. And so, you know, Jesus himself said, when you lose your saltiness, you will be trampled underfoot. Well, look at us, brother. Look what's happening. The church is being trampled underfoot. And some of the greatest men of God that our nation has ever produced, Franklin Graham and Dr. John MacArthur, and I could go down the list, these guys are being trashed and vilified and mocked and lampooned and lambasted. I mean, Billy Graham is, and he's passed on. People are trashing him beyond the grave. I've just, it's just astounding. And so it takes men like you and me and women. I mean, there's a lot of godly, strong women, too. I'm not leading them out. But by and large, most of the pastors are men in our nation. And so it takes men and women like you and me to kind of revive this biblical spirit, the spirit of Jesus and Paul and John and Peter and Daniel and Isaiah and Nehemiah and Jeremiah and, you know, and Deborah, you know, and I mean, these people were real, just salt, you know, they just got out and made a difference. And so anyway, brother, it's just, my first allegiance, as you know and your audience knows, is to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But right behind that, and it's not anywhere equal to advancing Jesus, but I'm just saying, right behind it is preserving our constitutional republic. Now, right. If America collapses in November, I'm still a Christian. I'm still, if I have to go underground, I'm going to minister. I'm going to serve Jesus till the day I die. I don't need a government, I don't need a constitution to tell me how to serve Jesus and when to serve Jesus and that I need to. However, it's a whole lot easier, isn't it, brother, when we can get on the air like we're doing now, we can talk in freedom, we don't go to jail because of it yet, we don't get our heads cut off because of it yet, we can walk the streets, we can share Jesus with our neighbors, our friends, people in the public marketplace without going to jail. I'm trying to preserve that, brother. And listen, not so much for you and me. We're getting to be old men. I'm trying to preserve it for our children and grandchildren.
Yeah. Or
because if we drop the ball right here, Pastor Dan, our children and grandchildren could be shaking their fist at our tombstone one day saying, what did you do to us? What did you leave us? Why didn't you fight? Why didn't you stand up, Daddy? granddaddy, great granddaddy, why didn't you, why weren't you the salt when you should have been? Now we're living under tyranny. That's what's eating at my soul, brother. So we're living in very prophetic times. You and I talk about this all the time, but in the midst of it, we're watching our nation struggling to keep its head above water and to take some more breaths. I don't know, brother. We may be very, very near the coming of the Lord, which I pray we are. But but we're certainly very near some tough times. There's still, you know, an antichrist system on the way, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, I need to hush and let you talk. I could talk about this all night, and I've rambled a little bit, but it's just a big, deep, topic that you is. So, yes, I think our forefathers would be brokenhearted, but I'm doing my part. You're doing your part. A lot of your audience is doing their part to try to preserve what we have, the freedom we have, not for our comfort, but for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of our children and grandchildren to be able to worship freely and speak freely like you and I are doing. Does that make sense? Did my rambling make sense?
That makes sense. And it's not rambling. I rambled more in this program already than you did. But real quick, like we're getting ready to go to a break, but folks, did you notice he keeps using that word yet? Think about that. But anyway, Carl, when we come back, I want to bring up your book and talk some about it, but there's a couple other things I'd like to bring up. Tell them where they can find your wonderful site at, and you got lots of articles, lots of stuff over there. Tell them where they can find it. We'll go to break and come back and talk.
Yeah, it's compact. It's all on one page, so you have to click around on some links, and they drop down on that same page so it doesn't send you all over the Internet. But it's carlgallops.com, and you can just find everything there. Live streams, live feeds, sermons, tons of articles, and on and on and on. And plus, all of my books are there, too. carlgallops.com.
Folks, go over there and look around at Carl's site, and you'll be blessed. And also, what I was talking about earlier, and I'll get this in real quick for a break, it's talking about real freedom of the press. Well, you go over and catch Carl on Freedom Fridays. You still do that, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It's, we've got a huge international audience. And, yeah, every Friday. And then on the Gulf Coast, for your listeners that live down here, it plays again over an AM radio station and then over an FM radio station. And they stream it live, and we podcast it. So,
amen.
We still do it.
Okay, carlgallops.com. We'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Sword and shield, but I am the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, he was standing on holy ground. Yeah, he had to humble down, but he was standing, standing on holy ground. Holy ground, holy ground, they were standing, standing. Are you standing, standing on holy ground?
We are told in 1 John 3:4 that sin is the transgression of the law. Yet there are many today who would lead us to believe that certain of the Ten Commandments should be disregarded. Jesus warns, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The Greek word translated iniquity in the statement, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity," is anomia, which means transgression of or against the law. In 1 John 3:4, the same Greek word is used. Sin is anomia, the transgression of the law. There is only one group of people that call Jesus Lord, those calling themselves Christians. Jesus tells us that there will come a day when many will question, "Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" It is sad to consider the fact that many will be told, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that transgress my laws." I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Kaplan. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, we'll get right back to Pastor Carl Gallup here in a minute, but just one more little plug about the Mission Church. You know, we are in our 21st year of doing this, and we are out there on the front line amidst the COVID. Now, while no, we haven't got it, but people with conditions die, we are out there doing it. Pray about supporting the work that we're doing, because there's so many more people showing up. In fact, I had somebody just comment to me the other day. As they drove through Wichita, they couldn't believe all the people that they were seeing. There are new people going out to the street because, you know, they are getting evicted, and it's just terrible. So pray about supporting what we do. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help the poor, here's a big thing. Consider a donation for radio airtime. Now, I know you enjoy it, and you learn from our guests, and radio isn't free, and donations keep us on the air, because this ministry sells nothing. So pray about it. And we are a free media, so pray about it. We do a lot of work. You can donate online or mail a check or money order. You give a donation over the phone. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And you can also support us, of course, by praying for us, which is number one. And number two, share the programs all over the place. And now we're back with Pastor Carl. Are you still there, Carl?
I am, and I'm sorry that I was talking on the phone when the mic went live. I'm sorry if that went out over the air.
I didn't hear it. Okay. I might have heard a bleep, but it's nothing big. I'm used to talk radio. I'm used to how Skype is so hypersensitive. It will pick up Mr. ABR Frank said, I heard it. Well, well, you heard it, Frank. I didn't. It doesn't matter.
if Frank heard it, that means the whole world heard it. Oh, well.
Oh, well. You didn't say anything personal, did you?
Well, I was trashing you, and I was hoping.
Oh, thanks. Now, look, the truth, didn't the Bible say something about the truth coming out, you know, at some point?
Yeah. Shouted from the rooftops. Well, here's the deal. I just told a big old fat lie. I've never said a bad word about you in my life, brother.
Now, I have never said anything bad about you at all either.
Yeah.
You keep using that word yet. You started this reverb. Everything you said yet.
Yeah.
You know, I wondered if you was being prophetic again. Which, folks, by the way, you should listen to some of the back programs, because you wouldn't believe how much of these things that you've written in your books or you came on here and talked about, and then, you know, lo and behold, they came true. That seems to be a regular occurrence with you, Carl.
Well, yeah, it does, and you know how I feel about that. I have never presented myself as some kind of a prophet, and it still seems surreal. But the bottom line is, brother, you and I both are men of God. We have an anointing on us. It doesn't mean we get everything right all the time. We certainly don't. But we also are preachers. And, you know, an anointed man of God preacher who's preaching the contextual word of God, God gives us glimpses of visions, glory, I call it. All I mean is we're in the Word and we're preaching it, and we say, yeah, I see how that connects. Well, I've written books, just tons of books like that. And so certainly God is going to use us in prophetic ways. Of course he will. But that doesn't mean that we've, you know, speak to angels every day in our living room who give us a crystal ball and show us every little detail of everything that's going to happen. It doesn't mean that. It just means we're out here living in the world, but we're preaching and we're teaching and we're connecting with the throne of God in prayer and worship. And in the midst of all of that, sometimes we just have unctions and we'll say, I've said on your show, here's what I think may happen. And you're right. And then boom, it does. And it's like, oh my gosh, is he a prophet? Well, I'm not going to say that, but I will say that God has used me prophetically, and it's still surreal to me, and I'm honored that the Lord would do that.
Yeah, amen, amen. And it's exposing the truth, but you're right. You immerse yourself in the Word, and you don't exaggerate on the Word. You give the Word for what the Word is. And so, you know, the Father's looking for people like that, and I'm not going to down anybody, but you know, there's some of these guys out there. You talk about angels in their living room. I mean, they're talking to them all the time, you know. And you're going like, wow, really? Anyway, not moving back to that. So, look, I haven't got the free copy or anything yet from the book company, but I'd like to talk about this book some.
Thank you.
The cover popped up. Amazon, you know, I'm signed on it. And, folks, you can do that. If you go over to Amazon and you follow a certain artist or whatever, they'll tell you when a new book pops up. Anyway, The Summoning, that is a fantastic cover. I'm going to include it with tonight's, when I put it on podcast, I'm going to include the cover. But it says The Summoning, Preparing for the Coming of the Days of Noah. Well, amen. But that is quite a cover. That just pretty well blows me away. Back to you.
Thank you. Listen, brother, ever since I've been with Defender Publishing, I'm proud of all of the books that I've written. And by proud, I mean, you know, that God is using them and all of that. But Defender Publishing, Dr. Tom Horn, these guys are amazing. And Jeffrey Martis, he is the cover design artist of all of my books with Defender. And I've never met him in person, but I know him through email. And he is a prince of a gentleman, a wonderful man of God, very, very gifted, as you can see. And every cover he designs for my books, he captures the essence of what's inside. And he hasn't even read the books. I just tell him a few things about it. And then this is what he comes up with. And every one gets better and better and better. I mean, I love the first one he did, but you know, and people talk about the covers. It almost hurts my feeling. They talk about the covers more than they talk about, you know, they say, boy, that's a pretty book. You know, well, did you like it? Well, it was okay, but man, that cover is, no, they don't say that, but you know, brother, anyway, so thanks. So yeah, the cover is amazing, but you don't judge a book by its cover. So,
let me throw this in real quick.
Yeah.
About coverings. And actually I learned this a long time ago. When I first started out in, you know, physical ministry back in the early 90s, I started out helping a prophetic ministry still around, Prophecy Club, which that was Stan, supposed to be my guest tonight. But they would do, you know, they started off by selling VHS tapes and books, right? Well, the covers always caught me because the cover was what, you know, would draw you in first. Well, so when I started doing radio programs, we collage a picture. No, not the world's greatest, but we collage a picture, try to say what the program's about, and we post it, you know, with the podcast. And so I've asked people over things because I really, you know, struggled over what to say, you know, along with the cover about the program. Well, they said, well, most of them say, well, we don't even really read what you put about the program. We just look at the cover. So I'm going, okay. All right, back to you.
Yeah, well, that's the thing in social media now. It's called memes, M-E-M-E-S, memes. People like to look at a picture that captures the essence, maybe a few words on it, that's okay, but they don't want to sit there all day long and read dissertations, you know, on the Internet. So they like a meme. They like a picture that captures the essence of the message. So, and I'm kind of learning to write that way as much as you can when you write a book. My chapters are like 4 pages long, 5 pages long. I try to make them enjoyable to read. I'm not fishing for compliments, brother, and I'm not saying that I do this, but I'm telling your audience this is what I strive for. To short, crisp, popping chapters that end with that begin with a hook and end with a bait for you to go to the next chapter. And, you know, that's how people like to read nowadays. And so, I enjoy the challenge of doing that. I know the very first book I wrote, I still love it. You love it too. It's called The Magic Man in the Sky.
Yeah.
But those chapters were 20, 25, 30 pages. And I don't mind that. I mean, I read all the time. I don't care if a chapter's 400 pages. It doesn't bother me. I can put a bookmark and come right back to it. But a lot of people just don't enjoy that. But back when I wrote that book, that's the way you were supposed to do it. Just finish your whole thought in one chapter, no matter how many pages it takes. Well,
right.
So what I've learned to do is to break down a complex thought into little 5-page increments, so that people can let it soak in and grasp it, and then they're ready to move on. So anyway, that you're right, brother. It's the picture. I'm trying to kind of copy in my books what memes do on social media, you know. But yet I don't want it. I don't think my books are fluffy. You know, I don't want it to be just fluffy little snowflakes. I want it to be meaty and rich and revealing things that most people have not thought about before.
Well, you're able to cover a thought pattern, and that is something excellent about your books. It really is. You're able to cover a thought pattern in that short period, but yet anything that would be unanswered, folks, guess what? It's going to be in another chapter. So you're not, if you're left a little bit wondering, good. Then you're going to go to the next chapter and you're going to find the answer, and it all comes together. And you're right. People, they don't want to read much at a time now. That's sure, people sure have changed. That shows it, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, they really have. And you know, and I'm not being disparaging towards anyone. It's just our culture. It's the way everything works now. You know, from microwave ovens kind of started this. Everybody wants an instant meal. They don't want to cook anymore. Well, it kind of went that way with books. I mean, very few people will pick up a book that has 100-page chapters in it, you know. Now,
yeah.
But people do still read. I mean, we read all day on the Internet or wherever on our cell phones, so they read, and a lot of people still enjoy a good book, and I know I do. I love to read. But anyway, so I'm trying to just, you know, to satisfy what people of our culture today enjoy when they pick a book up. But at the same time, I've been in the ministry a long time now, preaching, teaching, being peer-reviewed on TV and radio and conferences and on the Internet and social media. So I've learned a lot. I've learned I've learned a lot of the questions that people have. And you're right, I come from a law enforcement background, in some of that background, with one of the sheriff's offices, I did a lot of hands-on criminal investigations, went to some criminal investigation schools. And so my book writing kind of reflects that a little bit. I've had other people say, man, you should have been a lawyer, you know, because I build cases. Well,
you build your case. Let me butt in. You okay. do build your case. There's the point. That's part of the reason I like your books is because you build a case. You don't only express your opinion about it. You'll give some opposite opinion sometime, whatever it matters. And so you take, you know, you can read the context, and it's great that way. And it is like, and I do attribute it to your background because I know your background.
Yeah, well, thank you, brother. And I give, if it helps anybody, I give all glory to the Lord, and I mean that. I mean, I'm not just, you know, saying it to appear to be humble. I am humbled by what God has done and is doing in my life, and I mean that. So, and you know, brother, I think that I remember. I do remember my interview with you on The Magic Man of the Sky, and I think, brother, that you were the very first interview, public media interview that I ever had on Magic Man in the Sky. I was with WND Publishers. You were doing a lot of interviews with WND authors back in those days, and my publicist that the publishers had hired had asked if you would do an interview with me, and you did, and I was overwhelmed by how gracious you were and how easy you made it. And I had never done a live radio interview like that before. And so now, brother, now it's just, you know, 5, 6, 7 times a week from my office and TV interviews and flying all over the place and preaching conferences. See what you started, brother? See what you started?
Well, hey, man, let's go with this. I didn't know a lot about how to interview people myself, so I just decided that I just wanted to have a relaxed conversation, you know what I'm saying? But I want to touch on the importance of books. You know, in the modern age that we live in, and something really hit me when, you know, Judge Amy, you know, they're interviewing her for the Supreme Court, right?
Yeah.
Well, she used the word preference. She used it in a thing talking about sexual preference, and they got all over about it using that word, that it was offensive. And this clarifies the importance of the written word, because the next day Merriam-Webster came out and added the word preference and made it one of the definitions as it being an offensive term. And just like that, boom, changed the wording of it. And so now people are getting that preference. If you use the word preference, that can be offensive. You understand what I'm saying? They're changing the word.
Oh, yeah.
So don't we need to keep old things, or don't we need to keep copies of things?
Yeah, we do. That's why I love books. I like a book to be in my library, you know, and the way I write mine with all the references, because, see, you know, 10 years from now, there will be people reading my books that will say, well, that's not true. That didn't happen. That couldn't be true. And all they have to do is just see, I reference everything I say. And whether it's still on the Internet or not back then won't really matter so much as the fact that people will see that it's been scrubbed, that it was up there. I quoted it. And now the socialist, communist, antichrist world they'll probably be living in 10 years from now, they will discover by reading my books that, yeah. Oh, my gosh, it's a completely different world. And so, you know, you're right, brother. I mean, it's important that people, you know, get books and read them and put them in their libraries and share them, put them in their church libraries, share them with family and friends, and not just my books, but any book that ministers appropriately and contextually lays the word of God and truth out there. And I'm not talking about little fluffy stuff that we've had for decades in the United States. I'm talking about bone raw, here it is, here's what God's word says, here's what the word studies say, here's what the scholars have seen for hundreds, maybe thousands of years, and here's the application, here's what other scripture says about it, and here's how you apply it to your life. I mean, that kind of stuff is hard to find, and that's the kind of stuff I try to write. But I fill it, as you know, I fill it with illustrations and stories and metaphors and parables so that people can, I try to take hard, complex topics and make them very simple.
Yeah, amen. And you're right. So books are important, and that reference is it to the future generation is important. So the summoning, Carl, give these guys a taste of what it's about. It says preparing for the coming of the days of Noah. Give us a taste. You got about 5 or 6 minutes.
Okay, thanks. Dr. Tom Horn wrote the foreword to this. Pat Boone wrote the foreword to my book that was out just a few months ago. It's called Masquerade, and we've talked about that a lot, but this one's called The Summoning. Dr. Tom Horn, the CEO of Skywatch Television, and the subtitle is Preparing for the Coming Days of Noah. And I immerse you right into Jesus' life. You walk the shores of the Jordan River Valley with him right on up to Jerusalem, right on into the cross and everything that happens there. You hear his teaching and preaching about the last days and some of the tough stuff that he said. And then I spend about, 10 or 12 5-page chapters walking you along so that you're there in the third person. You smell the air, you hear the sounds, you see the sights, you listen to his voice through the theater of your imagination as you journey, and then it opens into the next section, and I start explaining. Look, here's what he said, here's what he meant, and here's what the scholars say, here's what the word studies say, here's what other scriptures say. But the premise of the book is just what it says, preparing for the coming days of Noah. Well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus said in two places, Luke 17 and Matthew 24, on his way, those are two different audiences, but on his way to Jerusalem, to the cross, and eventually to an empty tomb, twice he said, the days just before the coming of the Son of Man will be just like they were in the days of Noah. And in Luke 17, he says, and just like they were in the days of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. So what I do with this is I say, basically the premise of the book is, what the heck did he mean by that? And what were the details of the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and how do they line up with what's happening now? Have they ever lined up with the world before? What's different about our day and time? And I show and I prove that January 2020 was a snapping event. Something snapped prophetically. And prophetic happenings began to roll in like a flood, and they're still coming. So, brother, we are right at the edges of the beginning of the days of Noah that Jesus talked about. Now, the book is very positive, though. I mean, it really gets Christians fired up about who we are, the days we're living in, what our calling is, and what God's promises are, and how glorious all this is and is going to be. Also the promises of protection in the midst of it and all of these things that are biblical truth. But I'm just trying to wake the church up, brother, and I'm trying to prepare Christians because people tell me all the time as a pastor, now, pastor, when everything goes back to normal, I'm going to start coming back to church. And I just laugh and I say, well, you'll never be back to church then.
Yeah.
Because it's not going back to normal, Pastor Dan. It's just not.
No, it's not going to be normal. It is not normal. And that is what happened. It snapped. And your last book, you even had with Masquerade. Come on. Masquerade was so prophetic, you know. I mean, even to the mask.
I didn't even know about COVID when I wrote it and when we designed the cover. And, oh, my gosh. I know. And the subtitle is Preparing for the Greatest Con Job in History. And look at the con job that has been being pulled on us and still is. But the whole thing is spiritual. It's the spirit of Antichrist that is, for the first time since the birth of the church, sweeping the planet, brother, not just in third world countries, not just in Russia or China or the Middle East and Muslim countries, not just in the dark corners of America, but this spirit is sweeping the planet. And pastors and Christians and Jewish people in Israel and America, we are under Satan's fire. He's got his sights set on us. He's getting ready one day soon to bring in his Antichrist system.
Yeah, amen. But I do believe, and this is why it's important for the people to know, what's coming, but the safest place to be is within the Father's will. You're not going to know his will unless you know the word. You agree or disagree?
No, I agree. And in fact, Romans 12 says that. It says, honor God with your body, for this is your acceptable sacrifice unto the Lord. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will know what God's will is. This will show you God's will. What? Honor him with your body. Honor him with your mind. Use your mouth for his glory. Be the salt. Be the light. and God will show you his will. And then we can always claim, if we get muddled even in the midst of that, we can claim James 1, where it says, look, if you lack wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to you. Just don't be double-minded. Don't have a part of your mind over in the world and a part of it seeking God, but put your faith, put your eyes on Jesus. Live for the Lord in these prophetic times, and God says, I will show you my will.
Amen. You know what? The whole Bible is my favorite, but you touched on something. James, I love the writing of James just so much, you know, especially where he talks about faith without works is dead, being alone. You know, faith's an action word. If you believe something, you get up and move in it, and that natural movement is the work. Back to you.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. James, I call it the Proverbs of the New Testament. It's like the book of Proverbs almost. But the faith without works. People, sometimes they get confused, and let me just say this very quickly. If they would just think faith meaning a declaration of your religiosity, I'm going to use that word. So if I say, oh, I believe in God, well, show me that you believe in God. You're over here living like the devil. I hear what you're saying, but show me something by your works. See, faith, religiosity, a statement of religiosity without your life producing the fruit is dead. It's nothing. Jesus said that in so many ways. He said a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. And that's the way of life. That's all James is saying. He's not saying that we're saved by doing good deeds. He's saying if you are saved and you're going to go around telling everybody you're saved, then let your life show it. What do? Let your light shine and be the salt. See how it all ties together?
Yeah, amen. Amen. Religiosity, I like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, Carl, we only got about a minute left. Tell them where they can find you, and we'll have you back second week of next month. Oh, that'll be after the election.
Yeah.
Boy, these next, 18 days or so is going to be really, I don't know what's going to pop up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My CarlGallops.com. And by the way, you'll find 20 Days to Save Our Nation, a link there. I am speaking at that. It's a huge national symposium with hundreds of speakers, and they did 2 30-minute interviews with me. You'll be able to see that. I mean, just go to my website, folks, CarlGallops.com. There's a ton of stuff there on one page, CarlGallops.com.
Amen. Tell me, here's the link, 20 Days to Save America. All right, I clicked on it. I'm going to advertise this, Carl. I'm going to put it all over the place. I hadn't noticed it before. Well, hey, Carl, anything that you're involved with, I'm more than happy to put it out there. You know how I feel about you. You're a true writer. I don't have to worry about what you're going to say on it. Well, did I say that, folks? No, I don't have to worry about what you're going to say on the program, and so you're a real blessing. Thanks for being on with me, brother.
God bless. Thank you for having me. I love you and your audience.
All right. Goodbye and be blessed. Bye. All right, folks, that's Pastor Carl Gallops. Go out and check his website. That's CarlGallops.com, CarlGallops.com. You can see all about him. And over there is a link that you click on, and it will take you to this media thing that he was talking about. It says register and download the event app, and, folks, you should do it. 20 Days to Save America, I don't think there is 20 days, but pray for it. Anyway, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your help. But what we've talked about in this program and the previous program tonight is the importance of media, the importance of books, media. But the radio programs, we need your support. I don't know how long we can be out here and be free, but we need your support. It's really hard to stay going with COVID because so many people have lost their jobs, so therefore we've lost supporters. So we need your help. But remember, there is only one true God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, only through him, only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's praying for Yeshua's return, and the Bible suggests that you should do it. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would please bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. So next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch. Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.